Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Welcome to you, and thanks for joining me here on this Friday. I'm trusting you've been with me this entire week as we've been exploring this marvelous and stimulating series on why bad things happen to God's people. You know, Derek Prince is a teacher who really brings out the nuts and the bolts, the nitty-gritty of God's Word, and I love it when he storms into controversial things. There's not much more controversial than why bad things happen to good people. You know, whenever I read a great atheist, for example, Christopher Hitchens has just done a book here that everybody's talking about here throughout these months, called God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. And like many of the great atheists in history, he says that one of the reasons he can't believe in a God is because there's so much evil in the world that obviously this is a case against God. Well, that's one of the things we as human beings wrestle with. How can there be suffering and yet there be a good God who rules the world? And Derek's bringing it to us. He's helping us understand as Christians that part of it is that our suffering's a mystery that's in God's hands that we're not going to understand, and part of it is that our behavior brings our suffering. He's been specifically developing truth out of the book of Job, and he taught us that Job's first response was a model for us, that it was reverent submission, but that it was also okay for Job to express his feelings about his suffering. You know, sometimes we think we're going to get struck by a lightning bolt if we're honest about how we feel in the midst of sufferings. So yes, submission's the right heart response, but it's perfectly legitimate for us to express our feelings. These and so many truths are being brought out of the book of Job by Derek Prince. So let's listen now. Really have something to write with and get your Bible and really develop these truths in your life, because we want to really discuss at the backside of our show today the practical application of these and how our lives can be changed by these principles from the book of Job.
Number three, he wanted to die. I won't turn to the passage, but there's various places. What's the good of living? I've got nothing to live for. Let me get out of it. Let me get to a place where I have peace. I think that's deception, because I don't think the wicked or the unconverted do have peace after they've died. Then Job affirmed his righteousness. He would not back down in the face of all his critics and accusations. I think we need to read that. Job 13, verse 15. Talking about God, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." And apparently God liked that. He doesn't want religious hypocrisy. He doesn't want religious platitudes. He wants people to be honest. Job said, "I've done nothing wrong, and nobody's going to make me say I've done something wrong when I haven't. Not even God." And then in chapter 27, verses 3 through 6, 27, 3 through 6. "As long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live." He said, "You can go on accusing me, but I don't accept it. I have not done wrong. This has not happened because I've sinned." Was he right? You know why it happened to him? I'll shock you with the answer. Because he was righteous. See, that overthrows a whole lot of theories, doesn't it? And you'll find, as we'll see, God never did anything but uphold Job's righteousness. From the beginning to the end of the book, he said, "My servant Job is right." Now that really staggers you, doesn't it? I want to say it again. Job's problems didn't come because he had sinned. They came because he was righteous. How many of you still want to be righteous? Amen. I do too. All right. The next thing that Job says is, "God has not treated me justly." Job 27, verses 2 through 4. Now this is really astonishing, because remember, God said at the end, Job said what is right. So Job 27, verses 2 through 4. As God lives, who has taken away my justice, and the Almighty, who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me, and the breath of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. Job knew he was righteous, and he was not going to change. And he said, God hasn't treated me justly. Was that true? It was true. Now, this is going to shock you, but it was true. Turn to Job 2, verse 3 for a moment. Job 2, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you, Satan, incited me against him to destroy him without cause? That's unjust. Yes or no? Yeah. So you see, there's a problem. But at least I've got you thinking. There used to be the attitude amongst Pentecostals, at least, that when you went to church and parked your car in the parking lot, you could safely leave your mind in the car because you wouldn't need it in the church. That is no longer true. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You need your mind. Christianity is not a mindless euphoria. It's a challenge to intelligent thinking. All right, the next thing, Job longed for a mediator. Job 9, verses 32 to 35. He, God, is not a man, as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take away his rod from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. One of Job's frustrations was he could not get into the presence of God. He couldn't have a direct interview with God. He said, if only we had a mediator. You know the difference between Job and us? We have a mediator. Yes. I wonder if we appreciate that. All right. Job viewed God as vindictive and unconcerned. Job 9, verses 14 through 20. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. And then at the end of that chapter, verses 30 through 31. If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you, that's God, will plunge me into the pit and my own clothes will abhor me. That's strong language, isn't it? All right. He complains that God uses him for target practice. That's remarkable, but as you see there, Job 7, verse 20. Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? He said, God, you're using me as target practice. All your arrows sticking in me. Now, if you talk to God like that, you'd better be pretty careful what kind of a person you are.
You know, it's the humanness of Job's response to his sufferings that ought to encourage us. As Derek's been teaching us, Job wanted to die. And yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job hated the religiosity, the religious hypocrisy of his friends. And yet Job's problems didn't come because he'd sinned. It came because God had a purpose to accomplish. All of these things should be encouraging to us. There's so much more like this to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the Scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in a teaching series by Derek Prince on why bad things happen to God's people that really is dealing with one of the great titanic global struggles of humankind, of mankind. Why do bad things happen? Why does there sometimes seem to be no justice on the earth, no providence? Derek is touching on some of the great themes of the human heart. Let's listen now.
Job chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. Job is speaking. What is man that you should magnify him? In other words, why do you look at us with a magnifying glass? You magnify everything in our lives. What is man that you should magnify him, that you should set your heart in him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? And it came as a startling revelation to Ruth and me that God visits us every morning. Let me ask you, will you be ready for his visit tomorrow morning? Because he'll be there. You may not be aware of it, but he checks on you every morning. And it says he tests us every moment. There's not a moment that God is not testing you. Everything that we do is undergoing a test. Now you could say that's awful, but I think what the Bible reveals is God tests us because he's proud of us. He wants to bring the best out of us. He has a much higher goal for us than we have for ourselves. And he will not lower his standards. Many times we could say to God, God, please lift. Take the pressure off. God won't do it. Because he says, in essence, I've got a purpose in your life and I am going to work it out. Now you can absolutely turn your back on God and cancel the purpose. But I trust most of us would not wish to do that. But if you want God's purpose fulfilled in your life, then you've got to be prepared to be visited every morning and tested every moment. I can see that you're somewhat shocked. We were shocked when we realized that. But it's true. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, be prepared for God's visit. Because he'll visit you anyhow, but you may not even know he visited you. Which is impolite. Job says there's no justice on earth. Job 9:24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. He is God. It is, if it is not he, who else could it be? Now, is that true? Is there a lot of unjust judgment here in the United States today in our courts? There certainly is. Generally speaking, today, the law courts tend to have mercy on the criminal and no mercy on the victim. Is that right? Again and again and again, dealing with drunk drivers. They get mercy a time and time again, but the poor victims are not considered. Who's responsible? Job says, if it isn't God, who is it? It must be God. I hope you can see how relevant this is. All right. In the midst of it all, Job had the most glorious flashes of prophetic revelation. This is so characteristic of people like you and me. We're right down, we're depressed, we're moaning, we're complaining, we've lost the victory. And suddenly, for no reason on our part, we get this glorious revelation which changes our whole outlook in a moment. And there's one that's very familiar. It's not the only one, but we'll look at it in Job 19. As you know, it was turned into an aria in Handel's Messiah, one of the most beautiful arias ever written. Job 19, verse 25 and following. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. In other words, no matter what happens to my body, it's going to be resurrected. And I'm going to come back with a body. And then he says, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I'm sure that stirs something with many of us. We'll die unless the Lord comes. Our bodies will decompose. But one day, they'll be raised up. And we shall see the Lord with these same physical eyes that we now use. In fact, I have a belief, a theory, that the coming of the Lord is as near for each one of us as the day we die. Because when we die, we pass out of time. There's no more time there. We close our eyes in death. We're in a timeless world. And when we are resurrected, we'll have different eyes. They'll be incorruptible eyes. They'll be eyes that don't need glasses. What will be the first thing that we'll see with those eyes? The Lord. So the New Testament saints like Paul and Peter, who believed the coming of the Lord was imminent, they were right. It's as imminent as the day you die, if the Lord doesn't come before. And Job, perhaps the oldest book in the Bible, has this clear, absolutely unmistakable affirmation of the resurrection of his body in connection with somebody he calls my Redeemer. You can't tell me that that's not by inspiration. How could it be any other way that a man in Job's situation at that time would have such a revelation? So, when you're in the midst of your mourning and your problems and your pressures, maybe God will suddenly give you a flash of prophetic revelation, and that will change everything, not permanently, but for a moment. And as it were, you'll be transported out of time into an eternal situation, and you'll be able to see yourself face to face with your Redeemer.
Don't you love watching Job almost accuse God of being vindictive and unconcerned? I mean, don't you love it that God is proud of Job? Job doesn't sin, and yet Job is real, complaining, grappling with God, grappling with his friends. This is what it means to engage suffering as both a mystery and a discipline. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When does a total surrender ensure a powerful victory? In his classic teaching, Grace of Yielding, Derek Prince explains, from the Scriptures, why God will abundantly bless you when you are willing to yield completely to Him. As you listen to this special audio CD, you'll discover how to please God in all you do, strengthen and mature your faith, and receive your inheritance as a child of God. As our way of saying thank you for listening to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, we want you to have a copy of Derek's inspiring audio CD, free and postage paid. To request your copy, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the grace of yielding. Request your free copy now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of Grace of Yielding securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with us on this Friday as we're pondering some of the great themes of Scripture and, frankly, some of the great themes of humankind, of poetry and literature. To help me digest this today is David Holland with me here in the studios, one of the producers of this show who often brings great insights. David, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
And also we're honored to have today Dick Leggett, the high and exalted president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, thanks
Stephen,
for being here.
Cut it out, please.
I got to gig you.
I've been
been with you to help you digest many things, mostly food.
We've digested many things together, and if people could see us, they would know that as a fact.
Yes, that's true.
Listen, this teaching of Derek's is just critical. You know, as I said yesterday, so many people are non-believers. And when you ask them why, they often say, how can a loving God exist when the world is in the shape that it's in? It's one of the great anti-theistic, anti-God rationales in the world. You know, theologians call this whole problem of the problem of evil in the world a theodicy. It means God's justice. The problem of God's justice. How can a just God exist when there's injustice in the world? And you know, I want to throw this to you guys, but I just want to set us up by quoting that or reminding us of that great quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, you know, really, the mystery is not that there's evil in the world. The mystery is that there's any good in the world. He said, we live in a fallen world. We've sinned. Mankind has fallen. What we should expect is evil and pain and suffering all the time. The real mystery is that there's any grace, there's any good, there's any positive in the world. But you know, this is really a critical issue, and it's critical for two reasons. First of all, that so many people refuse to believe in God because of this whole issue of theodicy or why bad things happen to God's people or good people. The other issue is that there are believers out there who are really suffering, and in many cases, they don't have any categories to put it in. They don't know what to do with this. How do they relate to God in the midst of their suffering?
Well, that's exactly right. There are millions of Christians walking around with a thing between them and God.
Yes.
They haven't rejected him. They still love him. They still want to serve him, but there's this thing between them. And this thing between them is a heartache that they experience that they don't understand it, why that happened.
It's true, and one of the great privileges I have in the position I have as president of Derek Prince Ministries is to travel around the country and meet with people. And you know, we talk about Derek Prince Ministries and all the wonderful things that are going on, and there are tremendous things that are happening. God is just opening all kinds of doors of opportunity to see Derek's teaching and his ministry of what he did when he was on the earth expanded. But we soon get beyond that to the real nitty-gritty of life, and so many people are struggling with these same kinds of issues that Job faced. As a matter of fact, I traveled recently to visit with dear friends of mine who are also very devoted to Derek's teaching and have been longtime followers of his ministry. And they just lost a son a few years ago in Iraq, in the early days of the Iraq War. And to sit with them and to talk with them and to hear how they have processed it. And they've processed it very similarly to how Job did. They've come through and they see that whole redemptive aspect of it that is keeping them going and is giving making some sense out of the experience.
Well, you know, it's very much rooted in the idea of a relationship with God. Difficult things come, suffering comes, but we're connected to a God who loves us and ultimately intends good. And that's the reason that Job can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But that is a difficult thing to do, you know? Probably like you guys, I'm a bit of a fighter. I'm a bit of a warrior. It makes much more sense to me to battle the devil, reduce him, cast him out, you know, defeat him and the spiritual weapons that we're given. That makes more sense to me than having to endure something as coming from the hand of God. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of having the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Listen, we're going to continue this teaching next week, and I want you guys to come back with the answers to all of these questions that mankind has been asking for thousands of years.
No pressure.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be right back for that one, Stephen.
Well, guys, thanks for being here.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Good to be with you.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, Faith to Live By, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free audio CD copy of
Grace of Yielding, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can find both of these resources online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.